Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight. The rough places shall become level ways. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord in strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Let me ask you a funny question. You ever had a long-term house guest? Don't you say a word, son. For you don't know, I live with Alex and his family for almost 3 months, I guess, thereabouts, when I first got here. They put up with a lot. But have you ever had a long-term house guest who seemingly just will not leave? Huh? I left. And he's been working on that house with me ever since. Mine, that is. But have you ever had that? You ever had that long-term house guest who just seemingly just won't leave? I got such a character in my life. I've had such a character in my life. We have had characters like that in our lives, haven't we, Andrea? Uh-huh. Look at the head, goes up and down. Yeah. We had an attorney. Our attorney moved in with us. We had another person moved in with us. I mean, you know, we go the whole route that way. And sometimes, you know, these people, they're so different from you or from what you want your life to be, right? I mean, they're engaged in things you don't want to be engaged in. They bring up topics that are more than uncomfortable and you don't want to talk about them. You know, our recent election is nothing compared to what some of these people will bring up and cause upheaval in your life. I mean, they will stay out at hours of all hours and all kinds of things, and they'll just generally just disrupt the normal flow in a home. That's been our experience over and over and over and over and over again. You say, well, Father, that's your fault. You open your door to people like this. But you know what the real problem is, folks? That the biggest perpetrator of all of this stuff lives right inside of me. I'm talking about that other persona that is inside of me. The great disruptor. The one who lives and says and does all those things that I just as soon weren't done, weren't said. Would just allow peace to reign in my home. Okay? But that isn't the case. That isn't the situation. And you see, when I read this portion of Luke's gospel today, as I was preparing for this morning, for the first time, it hit me that just maybe, this is who John the Baptist was talking to when he addressed the people whom he was preaching to and who he was baptizing in the River Jordan, that in fact, it was that unwanted individual inside of each and every one of them. I think, now that I've spent some time, serious time, studying on this, that that just may be the answer. The Baptist says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. every valley shall be filled. Tell me something. How deep is the valley that you're living in right now? Just how deep has it gone? How far down have you slithered to find the bottom of that floor? Seriously. What got you there? Oh, I know, we all have our detractors. We have people who are saying and will say to us all kinds of crazy things. You know, like, I don't like the way you part your hair, or your barber's not good, or some such nonsense like that. You know, we've all heard those things. But how about when it generates within yourself? And you're pouring an acid in on top of yourself internally. And your spirit is attacked because of the things that you are thinking about yourself and about your inadequacies. I made a comment a moment ago about Alex and I continue to work on our home. And here a week ago Friday, we attacked a half bath and we tore it all up and everything. And thanks be to God, through his work, we were able to get it back together again in about 5 hours. Praise God, indeed. Well, what we didn't get done was all the trim work and everything. So yesterday, I'm in there on my hands and knees. God, that's a terrible place for this boy to be. I end up laying down to get some of that work done because I can't stay on my hands and knees because my knees are so bad. They're so destroyed. And into my head it comes, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be getting somebody else to do it for you. You know? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, this whole thing about you're inadequate. You're not up to it. And what you need to do is quit and run away. And of course, I'm not just talking about a floor and a bathroom. I'm talking about life in general. There's no shortage of messages from inside of us that tells us just to surrender and give in to the situation we find ourselves in. All the negative thoughts, all the things that drive us down into the valleys of despair. John is addressing, I think, here that we need to find a way to come up out of it. And then look what he says. It says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Okay, Father, you just said we shouldn't be down in the valleys of despair and we need to get ourselves up. And now you're telling us we shouldn't be trying for these mountaintop experiences. Well, no, that's not what I'm really saying. If the Holy Spirit of God takes us to a mountaintop experience, that's one thing. But if it's our ego, if it is a misappropriated thought or expression of who and what we really are, if we are trying to crawl our way up over the top of other people to somehow or another reach a so-called superior position in life at the cost and expense of others, then that's a mountaintop we have no business being on. That is a hill we have no business attempting to climb. And I think the Baptist is telling us that. John is trying to tell us that we should not be approaching that hill, much less trying to climb that mountain, for whatever reason. We allow our ego to get in such a way that God in his Holy Spirit cannot get into us to convict us of the sin that somehow or another allows us to look at another person and to believe for one moment that we are better than they are, less deserving of the love of God than we are, and incapable of being the child of God that we're supposed to be. John says what? The crooked shall become straight. Now, it would be real easy to say, well, Father, there you are. I don't steal from no one. I, you know, I'm an honest person. I don't cheat my taxes. I don't do any of this other. I mean, all my business dealings are on the up and up and everything else. But what I believe John is talking about here is that do-si-do, that dance we tend to take off on, and we slither hither and yon around the things of God so that we can get to where we feel like we ought to be, avoiding and intentionally ignoring what God says to us in the eternal and unchanging word. So that we get to where we think we should be by whatever means it takes us to get there, and it doesn't matter what part of this we ignore. Because for some odd reason or another, we don't think we have to. How foolish we are. How foolish we are. And then he says what? And the rough places shall be made level. How's your bruises? How are your bumps? How's your lumps? We all got them. We all have them, without a doubt. I got some new ones after yesterday. I promise you I do. I won't show you. Be glad. But I can't do anything today without getting them with tools. But about the real rough places in your life. What about those things that we have that keeps us and blocks us and we choose to ignore? What about not only out of the Word of God, but what is it that keeps us from walking up to our brother in Christ and putting our arm around him and telling him how much I love him, you know? Or our sister. Or to look at a situation within our life and our community. And the roughness of us keeps us from establishing the smoothness that God means to be there. Where our character and characteristics are the real barriers for the building of the kingdom of God. The church is full of people. A lot of us dress in funny clothes, by the way, that I'm talking about. But the church is full of people who prefer the rough to the smooth. And what does John say if we take care of all these things? He says, all flesh shall see then the salvation of God. That brings us to that most important point of all. Are others seeing the face of God in us? Or are they seeing our valley of despair or the height of our ego, the rough places and all the other stuff that John's talking about here? Is that the only thing that they see, or are they able to see Jesus? Now, don't get me wrong. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm with St. Paul as he wrote to the church in Philippi from our epistle lesson day, where he says, I thank my God for your ministry, for your life. And I cannot begin to tell you how much I thank all of you, each and every one of you who are engaged in the life and the ministries of this local church. Far superior to most every church I've ever been around in my entire lifetime. I thank God for you every day in my prayers. I know Father does likewise. I've been there and I've heard him. But still in all, there are in all of us this person who I want to move out of my house, my body, my personage. This person who is somehow another preventing and presenting, who's preventing the gospel and presenting something other than Jesus Christ. And I pray you are too. I pray that in this season of Advent, where, what did John tell us to do? Repent. It's a season of repentance. It's a season of, let's knock off all the stuff that shouldn't be going on in our existence. And let's embrace what the gospel tells us we're supposed to do. Let us embrace what the word of God tells us that we must do to be faithful children of God. Let us be who we are called to be. Faithful. Faithful unto the end in Jesus Christ. So that all flesh shall in fact see the salvation of God. Unto God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.